But thank you for bringing that up. Any other announcements? No, Mr. Winters. Marion Davis. Yeah, he was Sealand, Horizon, Matson. Yeah. Okay, other announcements. All right, public testimony on agenda items. So this is the time for people who cannot stay for the entire meeting to comment on agenda items. If you wish to speak as each topic comes up on the agenda, you will have to sign up with the clerk. So anybody want to come forward now? All righty, thank you. So we need a motion and a second to move into a work session.
Make a motion to go into a work session.
Second.
Second. Without objection, we will go into work session. The item on the work session tonight is the discussion regarding proposed changes to Title III personnel. City Manager.
Okay. So Title III very much complements collective bargaining unit agreements for most of our employees. But it is the only governing document for regarding personnel matters for employees who are not represented by collective bargaining units. The last update to Title III solely focused on the pay plan matrix, and that was done in late 2013. So we now have attached in your packet a draft of the Title III changes for your review. And we certainly anticipate additional refinements from what is in this draft, and we'll review those in greater detail in future work sessions. My goal for tonight really is to do a simple introduction and overview of the changes as they're outlined in the memo. So I'm not going to be going through page by page and change by change of the draft itself. So many of these concepts, if you might recall, were mentioned with council back in May, and you might see some similar things that we that council did approve with the 302 bargaining units. So first, we have, I've kind of broken it up into four different concepts. That's just the way my brain works. I try to group some things together. So first, it's kind of, we're trying to tackle some basic standardization and clarification. So one of those is really clarifying the acting appointments, standardizing the percentage of increase from the base pay that they get. Right now, it ranges, and inevitably, when you have ranges, it... there's errors that occur and inconsistencies. So we're proposing a 10% increase base salary for when it's somebody that's stepping up to serve in a supervisory role in an acting capacity, to kind of thank them really for taking on that additional responsibility for a temporary period of time. We're also clarifying that the classification of employees that are temporary or seasonal, those positions themselves are budgeted positions that follow the standard recruitment process like any other regular employee, which is different from emergency appointments, which are those where we pick up the phone and we call that reliable community member that likely helped with us in the past to fill in for an extended absence for an employee. So they do not go through the typical recruitment process. So we've also are adding some definitions of and clarifying some definitions of a regular part-time employee versus a less than regular part-time employee. And this is specifically important when we're talking about defining some benefits in terms, which we'll see later on, in terms of insurance and leave accruals. And then obviously there are some just grammatical corrections, gender neutral wording and phrasing improvements, and outdated references that you'll see being addressed. And we're continuing to look for those as well. And then we, of course, had the city attorney review all of this, and you'll see a lot of his recommendations as well. I tried to call those out, and those kind of run from insurance requirements just to phrasing improvements and other new references that and clarifications that needed to be made. You will also notice some expanded or new sections. The military leave section used to be about one sentence long. Now that has greatly expanded to really provide some more detail for employees and frankly for staff members on how to handle military leave requests and certainly being in keeping with federal law. That was drafted in very close coordination with our legal team. We also have a new safety section. This outlines many of the roles and responsibilities of safety in regards to our workplace and formalizes a safety committee. The safety committee has been fully operational for a few years now and is important to our organization and deserves to be a part of this code. We also have expanded slightly the employee development program. This was already a section of code, but we are trying to kind of build that up a little bit and is in keeping with our current practice. We've also updated slightly our harassment section to be in keeping with our current practice and law. Okay, so then we get to pay plans. What is in your packet has the existing wage scale that's in Title III. We did not update that with your draft, but what I did mark on there is what we are going to be proposing is a 4.5% shift of that entire wage scale for that's all spelled out in code, and that really helps to address any of the cost of living increases that have occurred since 2014. And how that was calculated, that was all through the CPI, which was the exact same way that we calculated 302 this past May. And again, that's not included in the pay matrix, but so we'll run those numbers. I actually think we've already done that. We just didn't put it in there yet. So we'll get that in for next time. On a related note, what will be a separate action outside of these changes would likely be a resolution that we'll be bringing forward is to allow for a 4.5% increase for all of our existing Title III employees so that they're kind of moving up with this title change. So this title change and the change that gets made to this table in code doesn't instantly mean everybody else gets a 4.5% raise. So that would need a separate action being taken by council. So we'll be bringing that forward as well. The other important change that we're proposing is that right now a review cycle is for the pay plan matrix in Title III talks about reviewing it every 4 years. We have failed on that. We have not brought that to council every 4 years. And it also says to review the classification plan every 7 years. What we're proposing is to put 3 years for both of those to add some accountability on our end to make sure that we're bringing that to council on a regular basis, just like we do for all of the collective bargaining units in this organization. We also are having some benefit refinements. We're proposing that. One is to deal with the floating holidays. We're proposing that we have an automatic cash out at the end of the year for any unused floating holiday pay. That right now it's just kind of a use it or lose it type of thing. And this cash out, this automatic cash out is consistent with what's in the other bargain units at this point. And I referenced this one earlier, but the insurance, we're removing a section that says that insurance could be provided at the cost of the employee for less than part-time employees. We can't do that. I mean, so we're removing that section, and that's the same section that we removed from the collective bargaining units as well. What we are also proposing is that we increase the moving allowance. Right now, it's a total of 4,000. We are proposing 5,000, which again is consistent with numerous of the other bargain units, as well as changing that from a reimbursable amount to a lump sum amount. That's also in collective bargaining units. That's also in response to many phone calls that we have gotten from employees. It's expensive to move here, and they're coming out here to work. So and obviously to become members of the community, but to go to it's a financial burden to put that move together. And if we can provide that lump sum to help with that transition, I think that's money well served. And we're also proposing that we make that available to executive level employees. Right now, executive level employees are able to get a signing bonus, but that's a signing bonus. And I'm proposing that we clarify that they are able to also get this moving allowance. It's my hopes that might help with some recruitment efforts as well. We're also proposing a travel benefit adjustment. Right now that is $1,500 and has been that same amount for quite some time. We're proposing that gets moved up to $2,000. Again, that's the same as what 302 just was, what we agreed to with 302 this last May. And then it would be half that amount for part-time employees, and then less than part-time employees would receive no travel benefit. Bereavement leave, we're proposing that we increase that by 2 days from 5 to 7 for more consistency with the other bargaining units. And that actually was also a suggestion back in 2013 with the classification and compensation analysis that we received, that we increased that as well. So there is your quick and dirty introduction and overview. Some of the next steps will be, we'll have another work session on August 13th. In between that time, we'll continue to refine this draft, include more details. And there was a couple of points that we had kind of flagged that we needed to talk through more with our attorney and internal to staff to make sure that we've got it right. And then so then we'll bring that forward to you on August 13th. At that point, you know, we can obviously talk about this right now too, but at that point we'll have another chance to have a discussion. And if you're feeling good, then we can move on and have the first reading of the ordinance at the following meetings and then the second reading. But obviously we could also have additional work sessions to continue going through this. There's a lot of information here, but I think it's very consistent with what's already in the collective bargaining units. So that's what I have for you. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have. I also have our human resource manager who has been working on this with me for quite some time. So we're happy to answer any questions that you guys might have.
All right. Thank you for a very succinct report and summary of that. Council members, any discussion? Mr. Dungal.
How many employees we have under Title III?
If I had to guess, I'd say about 30. Title III employees, they're about 30. And now I'm going to look out into the... Yes, there's a nodding. About 30-ish. How's that? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Title III employees, about 30. Some of those are part-time. I think it's just the... less than part-time, actually, would be the lifeguards. I'm kind of going through. That's it, right? Yes. I'm seeing some nods.
All right. Other council members. Ms. Coleman.
So here's what I'm hoping is resolved. Is it in any instances where you have a person that is in Title III who is supervising a person in another collective bargaining unit, their pay is actually more than that other person. So I don't know if this shift is going to be able to address any of those instances that are out there, but I mean, that seems very unequal to me.
So now's my opportunity to help to manage expectations. I'm not sure that we're going to be able to get to that right now. I certainly see that as a challenge in our organization, and I've been doing a lot of reading on this, and that's a challenge a lot of places when you have different bargaining units and non-represented employees in the same organization. So. So we'll look at that, and right now the 4.5% likely won't, you know, solve all of those problems. I will say that as a separate project, we'll be doing the classification plan, which is also referenced in Title III, and that's a whole separate project, and that will be looking at all of our positions and how they are classified, and then kind of map out what they get paid and then what changes might need to occur to be a bit more equitable and to promote promotions, you know, to encourage people to take those steps. And right now I recognize that that might not be all that attractive for some of our employees.
And the last time you guys looked at the classification plan was how long ago?
2013-14 timeframe, exactly when the pay plan got adjusted in Title III. Yeah, that'll be the next big project after this. Yeah.
Well, I think
Mayor Pro Tem,
putting yourself on the schedule for every 3 years instead of 6 years might eventually start us to fixing some of that as well. But yes, who was that? Was paging me?
Mr. Mayor.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, go ahead.
Yeah, I really appreciate the work that's been put into this. As a former Title III employee myself, I think that some of the adjustments proposed were very needed. I know I've had conversations with current Title III employees that they kind of felt that they were being overlooked as some of the new collective bargaining agreements were put together. So I think this is would be a win-win for our Title III employees that as we work our way through this document. So I think it's something that I look forward to getting into more in depth. Thank you.
Thank you. Other council members.
Mr. Yeah, I just want to thank Aaron's staff for all the hard work on this. This looks like it's going to be a lot better than the one we did in 2013.
All right, thank you. Mr. Fitch.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate what those two gentlemen just said. This is a lot of work, and you ladies are doing a great job at it, and thank you. It should help with retention and getting people here, so thank you very much.
All right. Anybody in the public that wishes to comment? All right, so we'll see this on August 13th again, and so... Good. Thank you. Okay, so we need a motion to reconvene to regular session.
So moved.
Second.
All right, moved and seconded without objection. We are back in our regular session. First item is Resolution 2019-38, authorizing the city manager to enter into an agreement with Henning Construction Company to perform the Henry Swanson House Rehabilitation Project for $85,000. Can I have a motion and a second, please?
I move to approve Resolution 2019-38.
Second.
All right, so we've moved and seconded. Mrs. Manager.
So this project is on the approved CMMP and is budgeted for in FY20. I will say that this also is in our comprehensive plan. And the inspection and contract administration are planned to be performed in-house by the Department of Public Works, and staff is recommending approval of this project. And we're happy to answer any questions.
All right, council members, Mr. Fitch.
Thank you, Mr. Pro Tem. What are we going to do with this building when it's all fixed up now? What's it going to be used for?
Excellent question. And staff, the intention at this point is to keep it as a city facility. And staff is having some internal discussions on what it could be used for. And then we'll be bringing that to council. At this point, I feel as though, and based on my understanding and discussions with the public works director, this is one of those things that needs to happen with the structure if we want to maintain it. I mean, if we want it to remain, and then we can continue the discussions of what we're going to be using it for.
All right, Ms. Coleman.
I hear the fire department needs a new building. Just kidding. I agree with Mr. Fitch for sure. You know, a building for sure that is lived in or used will last longer. So I hope. I know it's a small place. When is the last time it's been occupied? Can you answer?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that question, please?
I was wondering when the last time it was occupied and what it was used for.
Well, that's a good question. I've been here for 5 years, and it's been closed up during my tenure so far. But my understanding is that at one point in the past, the Visitors Convention Bureau, I'm not sure what name they went by, I think they were in there for a while, if I'm not mistaken. And let me add that since I have been here, there's been at least two requests that I'm aware of. People would like to rent the building, either for business or residential use. So I think there will be, once it's up and running and it's ready to be used, I think there will be a fair amount of interest in it.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, this has been a project that has been on the radar for quite some time. And at times there were people who wanted us just to knock it over, and there are other people who thought that it had value. And if you read through Ray Hudson's work that he did, I don't know if it's available in the back there, but he gives a very detailed description of the very significance of that building, its historical importance. And so I'm glad to see that we're finally going to move forward and stabilize the building, and I have no doubt that we'll find somebody that either wants to live in there or have a business in there. I think this is going to be a good project and a wise use of our city funds. Other council members who want to discuss this? Mr. Robinson, I didn't hear you.
City housing.
All right. Yeah, it's a cute little house. All right. Here and see where we're at. All right. If there's no other discussion, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Certainly. Coleman?
Yes.
Tungle?
Yes.
Gregory?
Aye.
Robinson?
Yes.
And Fitch?
Yes.
All right. Motion passes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 0. All right. Yay. Next item, item B, is resolution 2009-44, authorizing the write-offs of various accounts receivable. Can we have a motion and a second, please?
Move to approve resolution 2019-44.
Second.
All right, it's moved and seconded. Ms. Manager.
So, It's been city practice, although I don't think it's technically required, but to annually bring forward to city council the approval of bad debt write-offs through a resolution. I would like to point out that recording the write-off doesn't necessarily forget the debt. So if circumstances change, if we discover more information or are able to communicate with the individual or entity that owe the money, we can still reinitiate those collection efforts on those amounts that have been written off.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. I mean, I see some of these people in boats that are still tied up to the dock, but I guess we just can't tow them away. Other council members, any input? All right. Hearing none, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Certainly. Tungle?
Yes.
Gregory?
Aye.
Robinson?
Yes.
Fitch?
Yes.
Coleman?
Yes.
All right, motion carries 5-0. Item C on the regular agenda is the approval of mayor and council travel to Washington, D.C. Can I have a motion?
I'd like to make.
I'll make a motion that we send Mayor Kelty. I would like to attend myself and any other council members.
All right. I guess the motion's made. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. We council discussion. Mr. Fitch.
Well, I thought about this quite a bit because it seems like we always send five people. We send three council members and the mayor and the city manager. And I inquired why we sent three people. Well, because that's all we can send legally together. So then I'm thinking, well, if we could all go, would we all go? And do we need to go? And so because of the way things are in Juneau right now, I think it would be kind of fiscally responsible to not send as many people. And I don't want to go. I think that we should send the mayor and the city manager and our mayor pro tem, Dennis. And I'm up for an argument on that, but I think that even though it's only saving $9,000, it's still $9,000, and that could go to a different use. I think that some of the meetings we go to are very fast, and I think that three people could get their point across better than five. So that's what I'd like to see. Thank you.
So to clarify, you said the mayor, the vice mayor, and the city manager. Okay. Other council discussion. Mr. Tungle.
I think I kind of agree with Councilman Fitch, but if some other council want to tag along and not exceeding three, I think to get some experience and know-how in case their turn comes and go in there, they know what to do. I think I'll still limit it to three. If my view is if whoever want to go, I'm not going on this trip anyway.
So you want the mayor and three council members and the city manager.
Mayor Pro Tem, this is Frank.
Yeah, go ahead, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, I think I feel a little bit differently than Councilmember Fitch. At times, if we're limited to three council members, it hasn't been. Most of our meetings are in fairly large rooms, and we get another perspective from a community member that's going on the trip that might have issues or different perspectives than two of the other council members and the mayor or expertise on things. So I think doing it the where we've had up to three council members, the mayor and city manager, and sometimes we have transportation issues, but the last trip, I think it worked out pretty well. So I don't really have any objection to doing it the way we traditionally have been doing it.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Robinson, you want to weigh in?
Yeah, in my experience, you always seem to get a better response from a larger group of a larger contingent than we did just a handful. That's what I've seen in the past, and I do think that it is really important because we every one of us council members kind of see things differently, as Mr. Mayor Kelty pointed out. See different parts of the community and have different perspectives on it, and I think that's important. I'd be in favor of continuing on the way we've been doing it up to three. We may not get three council members, but I think it would be behoove us to do that.
All right, thank you, Ms. Coleman.
So I had been considering going this time. Mr. Fitch makes it. I agree with Mr. Fitch in a certain degree that for sure three obviously seemed like a lot to me, and with our fiscal stranglehold that we've been, I think we might be even going to as we continue down the road, that to me, I think we need to lead by example and might have to start making some own cuts up here also. Three always seemed like a lot to me. So I was hoping to be able to go this year. I I have another term. I have another year coming up too, hopefully. And so I'd like to go, but I'm willing to step aside on this one for sure. So that's a, how about a, I didn't make a decision, but that's just, I'm just talking out loud.
Okay. I think three, the city manager and the mayor going to Juneau is overkill, because those offices are usually so small, it's hard for all of us to fit in. But I think the D.C. trip is, as Frank said, it's usually much bigger rooms. And you know, Dennis brings up a good point that everybody has a different point of view. I think Councilman Fitch has said in the past that, you know, if we're all going down there, maybe we should break up our talking points so that everybody gets a chance, because normally no offense, Mr. Mayor, you're the one that usually does the talking, and maybe that's right. But you know, I think council members can answer questions and contribute to that trip to D.C. And so I wouldn't mind seeing three go. And Sherry, I would suggest that you do go, because it's a good experience. And you know, those folks that go over time might not be around all the time, and so it's good to get that experience to go down there. So I'd be in favor of seeing the mayor and the vice mayor and yourself and the city manager go.
Mayor Pro Tem?
Yes, go ahead.
This is taking place on September 13th. But, you know, we have some time to decide on this. What's happening in Juneau and the governor's budget is going to be decided by the 31st of July, where they'll take that final vote. And then if that's not the case, then the entire state's going to be hurting for certain. So, but the legislature can call themselves into a special session, which you know, they can address some of these issues. So, but we do have time, and I don't think it's necessarily to tuck and run at this moment. I think Sherry would be a good idea for Sherry to go, and a third council member if we need.
All right. So, Mr. Fitch.
Thank you. Can we just table this till the next meeting? Is that something we can do?
Well, I think somebody has to start making arrangements, or can we table it till the next meeting?
It was a council member that requested to be on this meeting. It wasn't in response to coordinating travel arrangements.
Okay, so I think we can if you would like.
Well, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem?
Yes, go ahead.
Generally, the tickets are a little cheap if they're bought a month in advance. The next meeting is what, August 13th, which would be less than a month in advance, the September date.
Okay.
So I think let's leave it open. I mean, the motion can be up to three council members. We'll decide from there in the meantime, depending on what's going on in Juneau.
Okay, so the motion on the floor is to send the mayor, the vice mayor, and the city manager. Mr. Fitch, would you be entertaining the thought of amending your motion to say the mayor, three council members, and the city manager, and then we can, if we find people who want to go, we can do that and have folks make a decision by the next meeting?
Okay. Yes, I would.
Okay.
It was my motion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And my motion, what I did say was the mayor, myself, and any other council members wishing to go, up to three.
Okay. Is there the second concur?
I did a second.
Okay. That's fine with you?
Okay.
All right. So, I guess we can have a roll call vote.
Okay, I think we need to vote on the motion to amend first.
Well, I think
I think Dennis's motion was to send the mayor, the vice mayor, and two other council members and the city manager for a total of five.
Oh, that was his original motion?
That was his original motion.
Okay.
I was confused.
Obviously, me as well. All right, so we're going to vote on the motion then. Coleman?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Tungle?
Yes.
Gregory?
Aye.
Fitch?
Yes.
All right, thank you. The motion passes 5-0, and so by the next meeting, we will need to know who wants to go and whether or not there's a mounted opposition to limit it, I guess. Okay, enough said on that. Let me scratch that one off. All right, item number 14 is an executive session, so we have a motion.
All right, I'd like to make a motion to move into executive session at the request of the city manager to discuss legal matters and receive legal advice from the city attorney regarding pending litigation.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. Any objection? All right, motion passes. We will be in executive session. Thanks, everybody. I'm not sure how long we're going to be, but you're certainly welcome to wait outside the doors and come back. So we'll take just a couple minutes here and get the room cleared and the mics turned off. And you folks on the phone, thank you. Are you interested in calling back in after the executive session? They can call after the executive session.
That's what he said.
Frank or Dennis? Well, they hung up already, so I guess we don't have to worry about that.
I think
you will call back?
I don't think I'll call.
Okay. I'm sorry, Dennis?
Yeah, I can call in tomorrow. Or I can call Aaron tomorrow.
Okay. All righty. Thank you for calling in. Good night.
Your access code was not recognized. Please re-enter your access code, followed by the pound sign. To join the conference as the host, press star. Otherwise, press pound. Please enter your host password, followed by the pound sign. There are two participants on the call, including you. You are joining your conference as the host. For a menu of available commands, press star pound.
Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Chandler. This is Dave Gregory. I am the mayor pro tem tonight. We have Councilmember Fitch, Tungle, Coleman, Mr. Tom Konauer, Clarence Pearson, and city manager. We're giving JR a little. And Aaron is here with us, so we're trying to get a microphone for JR and Tom.